Amen. You know, I got sort of a funny title, some of you might think. Take the lid off the box. Take the lid off and get out of the box. You know, the great Michelangelo saw a block of marble one day, and he said, and he's looking at it, and the owner said, "That's of no value." And Michelangelo said, "It's of value to me. There's an angel imprisoned in it, and I must set it free." Now, I want to look at what it means to take the lid off and get out of the box and move into all that God has for you. You know, have you ever felt like you're in a box? You're just sort of limited in what you can experience or accomplish. You know, when you think about it, there's many kinds of boxes. There's the box of your own thinking that will trap you. There's the box of doubt and unbelief. There's the box of hatred and unforgiveness. There's the box of circumstances, the box of no apparent opportunity. You know, there's the box of your own ideas, your own traditions, the box of environment and community. All of these are boxes that dictate how we look at things, how we do things, how we accomplish things, what we can accomplish, or we think we can accomplish, or we think we can't accomplish. You know, the challenge is to take the lid off and get out of the box and into all that God has for you and the life that God wants you to have. You know, life is too short to think small. It's to believe small. Somebody said, you want to receive a lot? Well, you better believe big. You know, and we need to realize that we need to talk big and to act big, not act small. Because God has told us that everything belongs to us. You know, some people say, "Well, I can't do that." In Philippians, it said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Yes, and so one guy, he wants to put a spiritual emphasis. I said, it doesn't say anything, all spiritual things. It says all things. It means whatever it is that you need to do, you can do it. You know, Charles Schwab said this: when a man puts a limit on what he will do, he puts a limit on what he can do. That's a pretty good statement. Melvin Evans said, "The man who builds the men who build the future are those who know that great things are yet to come, and that they themselves will help bring them about. The blazing sun of hope illuminates their minds. They never stop to doubt. They have a time." That's pretty good. See, never put down your dreams. Never put down your thoughts. Great achievers are rarely realistic thinkers by other people's standards. Come on now. Great achievers are rarely realistic thinkers by other people's standards. I've been told this by coaches in the locker room: if you think you can, you can't. If you think you can't, you won't. Talking about going out onto the football field. I had a coach who said it all the time. He said, if y'all going out there thinking, "Well, we're going to just try to win," he said, "we might as well put our equipment back in the locker and go home right now, because you're not going to win. You got to believe you can win. You got to act like you're going to win." You know, us guys know this, but you know, if you got a problem with a guy and he's sort of staring you down, and if you keep staring at him and he drops his eyes, you whipped him and you never even moved. How many guys know what I'm talking about, huh? I did that. I'll tell this little story. I hope Lynette don't get upset. But both of us were engaged before we got together. And, well, I was engaged and the girl dumped me while I was overseas, and she was engaged. And anyway, I came back and we had just got married, and I went, because we got married in December the 30th. And in fact, we're coming up on 52 years in a few days. But praise the Lord. But that's what the boy she had been engaged to. I went back to college, the same college. She went. I was gone when she got there. I was already had to go in the Army because I'm a few years older than her. And this guy that was engaged to her, he was there, and Ben Little was sitting with me at the table, and he told me who he was. Well, I had heard he had been saying a bunch of stuff. And of course, hey, I just got out of the Army, and I told Ben, I said, I'm going to go over there and clean his plow. And if y'all don't know what that means I was going to go over and knock the fire out of him. You know, I'm 26 years old. And Ben said, no, you don't do that. You get kicked out of school. I said, I don't care. I said, he ain't going to talk like that. And I caught his eye. And man, he could tell by the look on my face and by my eyes that, hey, I let him know right away he don't want to mess with me. And finally, he dropped his head like that, and I told Ben, I said, I whipped him and never even moved off of a chair. Because he didn't want to mess with me because I would have hurt him. Because I just got out of the Army, and I was still pretty rough around the edges. I probably would have hurt him bad, and then I'd have been in trouble. But, you know, sometimes you got to realize that you got to believe you can before you can. You know, John Mason, he's a friend of mine. He's written several books. Any of y'all ever written any of read any of John Mason's books? He lives over in Tulsa. He's got a book. It's called Conquering an Enemy Called Average. And he said in here, consider how many fantastic projects have miscarried because of small thinking, or have been strangled in their birth by a cowardly imagination. That's a pretty good book. It's called Conquering an Enemy Called Average by John Mason. I think he wrote that. That's on page 16. He wrote it, and I believe it's copyrighted in 96, I believe. You know, we have to develop the capacity to ignore what other people think. I guess I learned this, or just maybe it's just part of my wife will tell you, I don't mean this wrongly, but it's just the way this old Texas boy talks, you know. I don't give a rip what somebody thinks. If it's what I think needs to be done, and it's what I think God wants to accomplish, I'm not concerned about what they think. You don't need to be either. See, we've got to develop cast. People always think stuff are impossible, but the Bible says the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18:27. Anytime anybody ever wants me to sign my signature on a book, you know, I always tell them, and I write down Luke 18:27, and I tell them, I say, hey, you can forget my name, but don't ever forget this scripture. And then in Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The only way to find out how high you can fly is to spread your wings of faith and go. You know, today too many people have a lid on, and their true potential is never reached. Because they don't think they can. I used to tell my kids, Denise and Craig, when I'd take them to school, I would tell them, Dad loves you, Jesus loves you, have a great day. And that night I would tell them, and I prayed with them, I tucked them in bed, I would tell them, I would say, with you and God, you can be or do anything you want to do. And I've always believed that. My dad taught me that. Some of you may know who he was. He was one of the, as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the greatest preachers of the last century, the 20th century. He was one of the best. Now, what does it mean to take the lid off of your life? You know, people put a lid on their life when they think too small. And when they don't think in line with God's word. See, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Now, we can take the lid off our life by renewing our mind with God's word. Now, everybody's always talking about the Spirit. And we need the Spirit of God, and we have the Spirit of God. He lives with us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Now, or second. Anyway, what I want you to get a hold of is the fact that you have to do something about the mind. The Bible, there's a lot said about the mind. Your heart is transformed when you are born again, but you have to renew the mind, because the mind thinks in line with God, with the world, how the world thinks. I don't know whether you ever realize it or not, but the world thinks negatively. Anybody ever notice that? God, you read God's word, and he thinks positive. He's always on the positive side. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's positive, isn't it? That's not negative. You know, some people say, well, I can't. Man, I never will forget it. First grade, and that was just, about 20 years ago when I was in the first grade. Try what? 70 something years ago, I was in the first grade. Miss Fowler, I still remember the Miss Fowler, little old lady, white hair. I know, when my kids were in school, I noticed that most of the teachers were young. When I was in school, all the teachers looked like they come out of Noah's Ark. But anyway, we had, and all of you are old enough to know that some of these kids don't, we didn't have dry erase boards or green board. We had blackboard with white chalk. And she asked old Jack if he could do something. He said, I can't. And she went to the board immediately and said, and she wrote in real big letters, "Don't ever say I can't." And then she went on to explain to us, when we say we can't, it puts us in a frame of mind that we think we can't, so we can't accomplish. It says, always say, I can. Yes, amen. Well, that's in line with God's word, isn't it? Yes. You know, we need to see God's promises for what they are and start thinking bigger thoughts and begin to rise up in what God has said. Not what man says. What's God say? You know, my dad, I'd go to him and I'd say, well, Dad, what about this? And he said, what does the Bible say? And that's the same thing. What's God say about it? You know, anytime trouble came our way, I'd say, Dad, what about this? And he'd say, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. You see, he would not let a lid get put on it. He always kicked the lid off. People put a lid on their life by going through life weighted down, held back by all kinds of stuff. And they never accomplish the plans that God has for them. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, I ran track in high school. I was fairly decent at it. My junior year in high school in Canyonville, Oregon, I ran track. We were a B school, and we went to the state track meet. But I want to tell you what. I would warm up, and I would have on my sweats. I even warmed up when I had weights around my ankles when I was warming up. But when they gave first call for the 220, I started stripping off that stuff. Because that's going to hold me back. Right. Yes. You know, playing. I can go out and play basketball like this. but I'm not going to do very well at it because I can't. The shirt's binding me. I got to put on a basketball uniform so I can be free to move. Come on, anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you? You see, you gotta get off all this junk. It says, lay aside every weight. And then the sin, and then it says there can be some sin, but this is weight. That's just something that's dragging you down. You know, like unforgiveness. Like memories of past failures. What do you want to remember past failures for? If you've asked God to forgive you, they don't exist as far as God's concerned. And you cannot accomplish your race with God by looking around at everything else. I lost a race one day by 1/100th of a second because I did the Cardinal Rouge by sprinting the 220. I was way over here in the outside lane, and it was an 8-lane track, and there was a guy over here on the first lane. Well, I'm down in the front of the, actually, we were running with A schools and double A schools that day, that Saturday. And so they just put us in the last lane. And that starter, he looked at me and he said, okay, now, son, you're running with the big boys today. Make sure you don't get in anybody's way. That's like building a fire under me. I said, I'll show you. Any of your sprinters that have run track with the firing of the gun, you try to hit it right on. And sometimes they get the false start. That's when a guy gets there. And I come out, man, and he fired that thing. I'm flying down that. I come off that curb, and I'm flying down that front straight. And I'm right in front of the grandstand, and they're all yelling and going on. And usually, you know, you could hear guys' feet pounding the ground because we didn't have the tracks like y'all got now. We had those old cinder tracks. If you fall on it, you're digging cinders out of your hands and knees for weeks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a couple of people. Anyway, my mind began to say, because I knew I hit it pretty good, you false started. You were so intense that you didn't hear him fire that second shot. And you're out here running down this track all by yourself, making a fool out of yourself. And so I kept running. I kept my eyes straight. You got to look at the goal out here in front of you. Keep focused. And it finally got so bad, I sort of glanced over like this. And I'm in lane 8. And in lane 1 over there is another guy. And he was just a little bit behind me. And we're flying down that front straight. But that glance slowed me down enough that that string hit him here and it hit me right there. I mean, as it was falling. 1/100th of a second. I lost the race. I was leading. Till I started looking at other stuff. You see, we can't look at other stuff. We got to keep our eyes fixed on the promises of God. If we start looking at other stuff, then we're going to put a lid on. You know, Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power working in us. God is willing to bless us and take care of us, but we got to believe it and take the lid off. You know, Philippians 4:19. My God wants to meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. You know, now, we see a good example in the Word of God of somebody that took the lid off and then they put it back on. Matthew 14:25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately the Lord stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got and when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Now here, Peter is the only other person I know that walked on water except Jesus. Everybody always doubting Peter, but he did walk on the water. He took the lid off. You see, when Jesus told, Jesus said, come. He didn't analyze it. He didn't ask some of the other disciples, you think I can do this? He didn't sit there in the boat and say, well, I know Jesus can walk on the water, but I've never seen anybody else walk on the water. I don't know whether I can do that or not. No. He just got out of the boat and started walking to Jesus. You see, it wasn't until he began to look at the other stuff and they put the lid back on. He started looking at the wind and the waves instead of looking at what Jesus said. Jesus said, come. Jesus saw the waves was there. He saw the wind. But he told him, come on anyway. But Peter, he was doing great until he started looking at something besides Jesus. We do great. A lot of people start out well, but they don't end well because they let circumstances and situations come in up on top of them. I mean, you know, we used to have to run. Now, I was a sprinter. I wasn't a distance man, but the cross country, most of the time the outdoor track meets and stuff didn't start until March, but we had the cross country. They ran in June. They ran in January and February, and the coach made all of us sprinters go out and run with the cross country team. Well, there at Canyon Bible Academy in Oregon, where I was going to school, our track was here, and there was a trail going up over a part of a mountain and then down on the other side and hit the highway about 5 miles out of town. And then you run back into town, through town and back, just a little bit of small town, through town and back to our campus. Well, we had to run with them. Well, now the coach, after a couple, 3 weeks, and we're getting in a little better shape, he said, okay, if any cross-country guy beats any of you guys, y'all going to turn around and run it again. Well, I tell you what, I start to hurt pretty bad. But I remember those words. And I just grit my teeth and keep running. That's what we got to do when the devil begins to come at us with all of his junk. We've got to remember that God said, if it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. Impossible with man, it's possible with God. We got to remember that he said that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And not look at that. See, you start looking at that stuff, you're going to put the lid back on your box. You know, when I was a kid, you know, they had these deals, and you'd turn it like that, and play some kind of music or something, and then all of a sudden a guy would jump out of the box. The jack in the box, they call it. Yeah. Well, you need to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God wind you up and jump out of the box. But don't be like the jack in the box that you can stuff back down in there. Don't get stuffed back down in the box by the devil. Just keep on saying what God says. Keep on believing what God says. You see, the battle that all of us had to fight in the middle of every situation is to obey what God said and resist fear and walk in the promises of God. You have to use, I use the verse scripture, I use it all the time. Not been given a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. That's over in Timothy. Now, fear comes to you all. Bad thoughts will come to you. You don't have to think on those thoughts. Cast them down. See, some people think, well, I'm losing out with God if some kind if thoughts of fear or doubt come. No, you cast them down. The devil is going to talk to you here, but you take the Spirit of God and begin to quote the Word. When you know you can't let the devil out talk you. You got to keep talking to him. You see, as long as Peter did what Jesus said, he was able to walk on the water. But when he started thinking about the waves and the wind, he couldn't do it. See, when you obey God's word, you're taking the lid off. All right? With God, you can take the lid off. Look at Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, with men it's impossible, with God, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. We choose to live by the circumstances. We choose to live by the situation that we're in or what somebody says. Or we can decide to live by what God says and believe and act like it's possible. Now, there's a lot of people. You know, they say, now, wait a minute. Do you really think that that's what God's saying? I think God meant this. And I've heard people say that, mostly Bible teachers and stuff, people that I've in school, when I was in school, some of them would say something like that. You know, and then I've heard preachers say, well, now this is what I think God is saying. They'd read a verse of scripture. This is what I think God is saying. And I sat there and I say, well, since when did God need you to interpret what he said? You know, I guess I got too much training all my life from my dad. You know, I was born one Sunday morning and 19 months later, I was in church the next Sunday, but 19 months later, I was on the platform because my sister was born. And in those days, we just had them little churches and no bigger than that one section right there, probably. And there wasn't no nurseries or restrooms or anything, you know. And so mother had my sister, so I went to sit on the platform with dad. And you know, I heard him say, you know, he said, if God said it, then I believe God meant what he said and said what he meant. And I don't believe we need somebody to interpret it for him. You know, we have to learn to exercise our faith in God into believing that we can have what we say according to what the Word of God says. You know, there's a lot of people making off-the-wall statements and say, well, I'm believing God. They're not believing God. They're just making a wishful statement. Okay? We choose to believe God that it's possible. Or we choose to believe what circumstance is saying and it's impossible. Hello. Now, I want to give you six things that I think will help you keep the lid off of your off and help you get out of the box. All right, I'll slow down now a little bit. You know, hey, just carry some scripture cards or a small pocket Bible with you and read it at moments when you have a chance. Or if the enemy is pounding you, then get that scripture out and start reading it. That's one way to keep the lid from getting put back on your box. Now, get rid of everything that holds you back. Thoughts, memories of the past, unforgiveness. One of the greatest things that hinders Christians is they have an unforgiveness. They can't forgive somebody for what they've done to them. You know, I think I did 8 or 10 lessons on being offended. In fact, I got a book from it called Avoiding the Trap of Being Offended. And as I was preparing all of those messages, the Lord said to me, he said, one of the biggest things that people have that hinder them is they take up somebody else. Their friend gets offended and they take it as their own. That person that got offended gets over it, but they're still carrying it. You can't challenge those thoughts. Say, no, I refuse to think about the past. Number one, why think about the past? It's history. It's done. There's nothing you can do about it. But tomorrow is a clean page, and what you write on it will be history the next day. So you need to just wave bye-bye to the past. Say, hey, bye-bye, and never look back at it. Come on now. Number three, develop an attitude of greatness toward God no matter what happens. I say it all the time. God, somebody come up to me and say, well, you prayed for so-and-so and they didn't get healed. I say, it don't make no difference. God is still God no matter what happens. I say, I preached a lot of sermons in 59 years of preaching. And not everybody I preached to got saved, and they needed to. But I'm not going to quit preaching salvation, because God is still God, and salvation is still salvation. Just because something didn't happen, I'm not going to draw back. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. Well, we don't know everything. You know, somebody said, well, why did this happen? I don't know. Well, you're a preacher. I said, well, it don't make no difference. I said, every individual is an individual on their own, and you don't know what they're thinking. They may say some words that you happen to say just to get you off of their back or something, but they may not really believe what they said. And they got to believe it if they're going to receive it. All right? Now, consider that the power of God is there available for you at all times. Remember Luke 5? It says that the house was full, and they brought a man on a stretcher, the four guys, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Right? But none of them got healed. The one man did, because he connected with the power of God. It was there, available. The power of God is available always, everywhere you're at. Somebody said, well, we'll go to church, the power of God is there. No, hey, unless you're in here and you bring the power of God with you, there ain't no power. God don't dwell in buildings anymore. When Christ died on the cross, he ripped that veil, because that's where the power of God was, in the Holy of Holies. But he said, no more. My power will dwell with man. You know. And then we need to continually confess with our mouth who we are in Christ and what we can do because we're in Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone be in Christ, he is a new what?
Creation.
Old things are gone. Everything has become new. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, bye, sir. See, we need to confess daily what the promises of God says about you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. We need to have those scriptures, and we need to continually use them. Hello. Then, number six, quickly obey God's word and stood of trying to analyze and say, no, wait a minute. Let's think about this a minute. Quickly obey God's word instead of listening to man's ideas. Okay? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's a statement that I have. Got it from my father. He had it in his Bible. I got it in mind, right in the flyleaf of my Bible. See, remember, if you make God's word first in your life, all things are possible. See, I want to encourage you tonight to identify and take the restraints off. Take the lid off. Start believing you can. Start acting like you can. Start acting. I heard my dad say it many, many times. Act like God's word is so. Any of y'all ever heard him? How many of y'all ever heard him preach in person? I know a lot of this crowd has heard him preach in person. How many of you heard him say that? Yeah. You know, I didn't realize it at first, but after I got to talk to him, I realized Brother John was the pastor of a Christian church up in Indiana back during the charismatic whenever, and he got in and most of his church got in. And I think Dad preached for you a couple of times, I think, up there. And I know he's heard him say it. How many of you heard him say it, listening to him on CD or on a tape, you know? Yeah. One guy tried to tell me what my dad believed one day. And he was, what he was saying was so far-fetched, it was unreal. Really, it was unreal. And I said, that's not what he said. Did you read it there? Oh, I read it and I heard him say it on the tape. This is years ago, tape. You can tell it's long. I finally got so disgusted at him. I looked at him straight in the eye. And that's just my personality. And I said, let me ask you a question. Were you born in his house? Did you grow up in his house? No. I said, how many sermons you heard him preach? Oh, he said, I don't know. Maybe 100 or something. I said, I've heard thousands. Because I was in church the next Sunday when he preached, after I was born. And I've been in meeting after meeting after meeting. Sometimes when I was a kid growing up, two a day sometimes. Sometimes three. You know. And I finally looked at him and I said, do you have his DNA? He said, no. And I said, well, until you got all of those things, I think I would keep my mouth shut because I know I have all of that. He got really mad at me. But he was putting words, he was interpreting, trying to interpret what Dad said so it fit with his theology. That's what a lot of people do with the Word of God. We can't interpret what God said so it'll fit with our theology. We got to interpret God's word by what God said in line with all of the other scriptures. Amen. People are always quoting Matthew 6:33. I'm going to give you an illustration. Matthew 6:33. What's it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? What things is he talking about? You got to go read the scripture beforehand, and it's talking about houses and lands and stuff like that. Food, that's what it's talking. Anybody ever read the scriptures up there before that? And that's what it, isn't that what it said, Brother John? Amen. See, I looked at Brother John because I know. See, he's a retired minister, and so I looked to him to see if I'm doing good. No, I really appreciate Brother John. I like talking with him. Praise the Lord. But see, sometimes people take a scripture out of its setting. No, we take the Word of God for what it says, and then we do what it says. You read where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Read up there about what all was going on, and then that's why he said that. Okay, you know, there's a scripture over there in Romans. People use don't owe anybody anything, right? They try to equate that to money. That isn't even talking about money. Go read the scripture. It's talking about you don't owe anybody anything but love. Go read the scripture. Now you shouldn't owe people. You shouldn't do that. No. But you know what? If you have signed a contract on something and you are going to make a payment at a certain time, you don't really owe them until it's past due. up until then, you're working on a contract. All right. Help me understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight. Don't put yourself in the box. Let the word of God and the power of God get you out of your box and enjoy living for God. This is the Christmas season when we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. I preached it this morning at our church, Emmanuel, God with us always. I preached it to the campus this morning. See, you got to realize wherever you're at, 24/7, 366, he's with you. Somebody said, no, it's just 365. No. Nope. If you don't say 366, then every 4 years, God's not with you one day. Hello now, come on. Right? See, don't let the devil put you in a box with a lid telling you it's not possible. It can't be done, because all things are possible to him that believe. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments tonight to inspire them to believe your word and walk in your word and walk with you. I thank you that you will. I realize everyone doesn't need everything that I said, but everyone needed something that I said. May they grab a hold of that part and put it in their life and make some changes. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want to pray with you before you leave. Is anybody in that way? I want to minister with you. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit tonight? Praise God. Anybody need prayer for healing? If you need prayer for healing, come on up here right now. And everybody stand up. If you need prayer for healing, come up here right now. We'll lay hands on you and pray for you. The Bible says they lay hand on the sick and they shall recover, right? Just stand right over here. If you need prayer, come right on. If you need prayer, come right on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can just get right here, you too. Just stand right here. Just stand like these people are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all reach your hands out toward them as I pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We lay our hands on Morgan. I thank you that you touch him right now. Healing power of God flowing into this body. How about sickness and disease? Thank you, Father, for the healing power that flows into this body right now. Thank you, the healing power is there in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing power that flows. The power of God, the healing power is working in this body to effect a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now for healing in this body in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing in this body. Top of her head, the sole of her foot. Let the power of God drive through this body, driving out sickness and disease. Father, we thank you for healing power right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got four handkerchiefs here that I need to pray over, so reach your hands out. Father, I thank you right now that the power of God will go into these cloths. When they're taken to those they're meant for, I thank you that they'll be delivered, set free, and saved by the power of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget, next Sunday night we're going to be here. And then the Sunday night after that, on the 17th, is our carols, candlelight, and communion service. That's a very special service. How many of you like that carols, candlelight? It's just a great service. So that, and then on Christmas Eve, Sunday the 24th, we will not have any service that Sunday night, okay? But there will be regular service on New Year's Eve, 12 and 31, okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Did anybody get anything out of what I said tonight? Put it to use in your life, amen? Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we'll see you next Sunday night. Remember the announcements? If we got some first-time guests, I think if we got first-time guests, we need to take them to the special place so they can receive a special gift. Oh, the first-time guest. Yes, all right. I'm going back here to shake your hand when you go out. She's going to one door, I go the other. God bless.